Throughout the Gospels, we do find examples of Jesus having these heart-to-heart conversations with people. And sometimes Jesus initiated those conversations, and sometimes people would just come up to him with some of their deepest questions. But Jesus always engaged them. He always encouraged people. And in today's scripture passage from John, we will meet an unnamed Samaritan woman who encounters Jesus at a well. And this story suggests that she's carrying around some heavy burdens. Well, Jesus sensed that, and he invited her into conversation. In fact, they had a deep conversation about living water. And so if you have your Bibles now, I invite you to open to this passage. It's in the fourth chapter of John. I'll read verses 5 through 29. It's a rather long passage, but the words will also appear on the screen. Again, it's from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 29. And let's listen now to these words of Scripture. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Amen. We frequently cross paths with strangers. And most of the time, those interactions are rather casual. We thank the person who holds the door for us at a restaurant. We say hello to the person sitting beside us on an airplane. We wave to the person who's walking their dog down our street. We might even smile at a winsome child that we see in the store. In situations like these, we rarely engage in much conversation. Mostly, we keep moving. We keep going about our own business. But occasionally, we do make a connection. The woman who came to the well at noon was busy attending to her own business, taking care of some household chores. But as she approached the well, she noticed a man sitting there. She may have wondered if he would notice her and talk to her. Would he flirt with her? Would he act rude? Or would he just ignore her? As she got closer and closer to the well, she could see from his clothing that he was Jewish. And when he asked her for a drink, she expressed surprise that he would be willing to take water from a Samaritan woman. And you might wonder why this surprised her. Well, it has everything to do with the history between Jews and Samaritans. And I have to go back many centuries to explain this. We have to go back to the time of King David and King Solomon. Just after those two kings, Israel split into two. The northern kingdom was still called Israel, while the southern kingdom was known as Judah. And then a few generations after that split, the Assyrians invaded. And they destroyed the northern kingdom by defeating its army, ransacking their cities, and hauling their leaders off into exile. The Assyrians then set up a puppet kingdom, and they made the people who were living there pay heavy taxes. The Jews that had been left behind in Israel eventually married and had families with foreigners, and it's their mixed-race children who would become the people we know as Samaritans. Now, the southern kingdom, Judah, had managed to fend off the Assyrians, but in doing so, they failed to give any help to their cousins in the north. And you can imagine the kind of resentment that created it. It really planted the seeds of hatred that continued on to the time of Jesus. Now, the southern kingdom would eventually deal with some suffering of their own when the Babylonians defeated the Assyrians. And this was bad news for Judah because the Babylonians were interested in expanding their empire. And eventually, they fought and defeated the Judeans. And they carted their leaders off into exile in Babylon. Now, this exile lasted only for a few generations, because the Babylonians would lose control to the Persians. And then the Persians would allow the Jewish exiles to finally return home. But the home they came back to was not the home they remembered. It was a place of ruin. Now, they did have a new king by this point, Ezra. And Ezra set out in rebuilding the kingdom. He set out to restore the temple and Judah's ancient worship practices. But by this time, the religion of the Samaritans had evolved into a much different direction than that of their Jewish cousins. The temple in Jerusalem, for instance, wasn't important to them because they worshiped up on Mount Gerizim rather than in Jerusalem at the temple. And the Samaritan woman was referring to this when she said in verse 20, "Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." See, this woman was emphasizing the differences between herself and Jesus. And it's those differences that help create a culture that directed Jews and Samaritans to avoid each other. the fact that Jesus was willing to engage her in a thoughtful conversation really was shocking. And John emphasized this at the end of our scripture passage in verse 27, where we learn that the disciples were astonished that he was talking with that woman. They were stunned that Jesus and the Samaritan woman had made a connection with each other and that they were talking about living water. By the way, this is the longest conversation Jesus had with any one person in the whole of the Gospel of John. It's longer than any conversation Jesus had with his own disciples. And I think that suggests to us that we need to pay careful attention to this story. And I think one of the most important things that Jesus said in this story is found in verse 14, where he told the Samaritan woman that those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. When the woman heard that, she was probably thinking about two different kinds of drinking water. Back then, there were two basic kinds of drinking water. One option was considered flat water, like the kind of water you get out of a cistern. And the other kind was flowing water, the kind of water that comes out of a spring, and wells were usually built over these natural springs. And I suspect that that's what this woman had in mind when she heard Jesus talking about living water. But it didn't take her long to realize that Jesus was speaking about something more than drinking water. And so she asked him, "Where do you get this living water?" And Jesus answered that whoever drinks from the water that he offers will never be thirsty. And it's at that point that she said, "Give me this water." Now the Samaritan woman realized that Jesus was offering her the gift of new life. And this happened at a well that the scripture refers to Jacob's well. And I think that small detail is included in the scripture just to remind us that Jesus and this woman share common ancestors like Moses. They both would have remembered stories about him, like the time when he was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness. The people were thirsty and they were desperate for water. They pleaded for help. And Moses intervened by asking God for help. And God did help them. God made it possible for water to flow from a stone. And that particular event is remembered as a time when God brought salvation to his people. What happens here in John chapter 4 is another story of salvation involving water. See, the Samaritan woman discovered her own salvation when she recognized that the person that she was talking to is the Messiah. And she wanted to receive the living water that he was talking about. This was a powerful moment for her. And then Jesus said something that I think is a little bit odd. In verse 17, he says, "Go and call your husband and come back." Now, why did he ask that of her? You know, some people use this part of the story to portray this woman as a person of loose morals who might have even been a prostitute. And they draw that conclusion from verse 18 where Jesus said, "You've had five husbands and the one you now have is not your husband." And then they take that detail and pair it up with the fact that she came to the well in the middle of the day when the sun's blazing hot as evidence that she's some sort of social outcast who's been shunned by her people. But I don't think there's any need for us to soil this woman's reputation. There's really no factual basis for judging her to be a promiscuous outcast. See, that interpretation doesn't take into consideration that she may have been widowed five different times or had to deal with other painful circumstances from her past relationships. And the truth is, none of us know what was in her past. And then the fact that she happened to go to the well at high noon doesn't mean she was an outcast either. I think what it is telling us is that she met Jesus in the full light of the sun, where everything could be revealed. See, the theme of light is a major theme in the Gospel of John. And throughout this book, John portrays Jesus as the light of God who pushes back darkness. And that's what's happening in this passage. In fact, the Samaritan woman even recognized the light of God in Jesus. And Jesus credited her for that. Now, I don't think it's necessary to say anything more about this woman's past, because getting caught up in her marital history really misses the deeper message of this passage. See, what really matters is that Jesus knew this woman. He knew her past. He knew her pain. He knew her struggles. He knew her history. He also knew her capacity for faith. And she believed in him. As soon as Jesus revealed his identity as the Messiah to her, she did something really interesting. She left her water jar right beside the well, and she went off to tell all of her neighbors and friends what happened. And she said to them in verse 29, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Let's not forget that this woman was a Samaritan. She was supposed to avoid any and all connections with Jews, and yet she was not afraid of making a bold witness for Jesus, a Jew. And the fact that she left her water jar at the well really is a powerful symbol. That jar was a symbol of her work, and yet she left it behind so she could tell others about Jesus. Now, who in the Bible left behind the tools of their trade so that they could go and preach? It's what the disciples did. Peter and Andrew, and James and John left behind their fishing nets. Matthew gave up his tax collector books. And Paul quit wearing the distinctive hat and robe of the Pharisees. When this Samaritan woman left behind the tool of her trade, she joined some really good company. She left behind her water jar so she could proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. And she was eager to witness to the people in her village. And the first words that came out of her mouth were the same words that came out of Jesus' mouth to his first disciples. Come and see. She wanted others to come and meet the one who knows her story. Now, the good news for us is that Jesus knows our stories. He knows all of us. Now, there may be things we wish we could hide from God. There may be pieces of our stories that we are ashamed of and hope that we never have to talk about. But we can't hide these things from God because the Lord knows us. And no matter who we are, or where we've been, or what's happened in our lives, God still loves us and still offers abundant life to us. This Samaritan woman was willing to share the good news that she had received from Jesus to the people of her village. And we learn in verse 42, that's towards the end of this chapter, that many of the people in her village would go on to spend time with Jesus, and they too would experience that Jesus knows them. Now, if Jesus appeared today, maybe sitting in front of a coffee shop on Hillsborough Street, and we were walking down and saw him, he would know us. He would know us deeply. He would know our history. just like he knew the Samaritan woman. How does that make you feel? Is it a little unnerving to know that Jesus knows you so intimately, or is it a relief? Well, let's remember that Jesus came not to condemn us, but to offer us abundant life. He came not to provoke anxiety, but to fill our emptiness and to quench our thirst. And the good news for us is that there's living water for each and every one of us. All we have to do is open our lives to Christ and receive the gift that he offers. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful that you know us. You know our history. You know our joys and our celebrations. You know our struggles and our pains. You know our needs and our deepest desires, which you meet through your living water. We pray that we will receive this gift today and share the good news that you so love the world that you sent your Son to share abundant life with all people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.